we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so I believe that that God has revealed to me that when Oral Roberts went through with the power and authority he lived in on earth, when he went through, there was a shift in that heavenly kingdom.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
When you choose God, you're choosing strength, energy, and love. Learn more from Gloria Copeland and her special guest, Billy Brim, as they continue their teaching, Tapping into the Power of God, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and my friend Billy Brim is here from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we're talking about lots of things. We're talking about the end of days. We're talking about Jesus coming back. We're talking about signs and wonders. Hallelujah.
Power.
Power. Triumphant power. Hallelujah. And it's all true. That's what's so exciting about
Word.
It, because it's in the Word of God. So, Billy, what have you got today?
Well, we've been talking about the fact that before Oral Roberts went home, the Lord had sent me out to California in 2007, and he said, I knew Oral was trying to go home to heaven, and now we know he has gone home. But in 2007, he sent me with this word, tell Oral Roberts that some men can choose the dates of their departure. As is revealed in the writings of the Apostle Paul, others cannot. Two men who cannot are Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. For the dates of their departures are in the sovereign plan of God, and at their departures, there will be a major shift in the heavenlies. I gave Oral Roberts that word. I've been reading to you the 7-page letter he wrote me back. And the last page of that letter, he said, finally, please know that I received your prophetic word that in finishing my course, that at my death, something extraordinary will happen by the Holy Spirit. Now, I have been seeking God since he departed in December, and I believe I received some light on it in January, that the shift, it might not be the whole of it, the all-inclusive of it, but I believe that the Lord has revealed to me, and we've been talking about it for last week and this week. We don't have time to go back over all of that, but it's a shift in the double kingdom system wherein the Bible says in 1 John 5, the whole world lies in wickedness or darkness. And Satan, when he usurped the power away from Adam.
Yeah.
Adam gave over the dominion on this earth, and Satan put up a double kingdom in the heavenlies. And we talked and read yesterday about Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church, talking about that double kingdom system. Brother Kagan, we have authority over those demons that are set up there now. Jesus in Colossians, it says that when he was raised from the dead, he put off from himself principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. He made a parade of them, triumphing over them in it. And he said, all authority is given me heaven on earth. And then he said, go ye therefore. He transferred the authority on the earth to believers. So the believers have an authority over this kingdom is still there. It's going to be there. They're rebel holders of authority. They're going to be there until Adam's lease is up. But to the born-again believer, since Jesus went through that place, there is given to us authority over them, which we are to exercise. Many people don't know anything about that. This book is about the authority of the believer. Brother Hagin said that this man inspired him. And Brother Hagin wrote his book, The Believer's Authority. And so Brother Hagin, in that book and in this book, it talks about the book of Ephesians, which definitely tells us about this restored authority. And in that book of Brother Hagin's, he said his life changed when he prayed these prayers. And the prayers in Ephesians are God-given prayers for the church through Paul. And so we pray this one. I pray this one almost every day. And we start with verse 17. So if you have your Bible, go to Ephesians 1, verse 17, and you pray it like this. You personalize it. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened that I may know. And then he prays that we would have enlightenment, revelation on three things. The first is the hope of his calling. The second, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And the third, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. There are six words translated in the New Testament power. And the Companion Bible lists them all in its Appendix 172. It gives the first one as dunamis, inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have dynamics and dynamo in the English. In the singular, power in the abstract, but in the plural, it's often translated mighty works. And it's manifestations of power, manifestations of the dunamis power. The dunamis power is the one that it's like, it's not like one stick of dynamite, though we get our word dynamite from it. It's like you had dynamite and then it went, and it's like a bomb, you know, an atomic bomb or a nuclear bomb. It just perpetuates itself. That's dunamis. There's a word that kratos, which means strength. Others, iskus, which is strength. And then energeia, energy. And exousia is authority. Authority is delegated power. It's like the policeman, the traffic cop. He doesn't have the power, the dunamis, to hold back a big 18-wheeler, but he's got the authority to do so. And it's delegated power. All that's the kind this is talking about, delegated power, the authority of the believer in Macmillan's book. So he prays that we would have, he prays, and this has really been speaking to me lately, especially since Oral Roberts left. And we're going to be talking about that more today and tomorrow because God spoke to me about power when he left. And he prays here that we get a revelation of that dunamis power, that and he, by it, he raised Jesus from the dead. What is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis? And that dunamis is to usward who believe, verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power. And these are other words there. It took him, he described his power in raising Jesus from the dead with four words, which he wrought in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. The heavenlies. You see, that's one of the places that places in his italics. So I always say heavenlies. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. When he raised up Jesus from the dead, he raised him far above Satan's double kingdom system that he has set up all around the earth. And we talked about that yesterday. We'll talk about it more today. His seat is there. The prince of Persia is there. That's talked about in Daniel. They have these places that they rule down. The prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, rules down. The whole world lieth in darkness. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, with the working of God, he raised him up through all of that. And what did he do with him? Seated him far above. He set him at the right hand of God, verse 20, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. So Satan's double kingdom system's under his feet. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. We're the body.
We're the body.
Satan's under our feet. That whole double kingdom system is under our feet now. The fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You used to walk according to this prince of the power of the air. He used to rule over you, but not anymore, because God raised you from the dead when he raised Jesus from the dead. And we, in verse 3, among whom we also had our life in times past in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Everybody on this earth who's not a child of God. Those demons are working down through them. That's why the world's gone so crazy.
That's right. Why they're blind.
But, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're raised up there at the right hand of the Father, if we only know it.
Yeah.
Where we too have authority over that double kingdom system until it's gone.
You can't believe it unless you know it.
You've
got to hear it to believe it.
And that double kingdom system is doomed. They're coming to naught.
Yeah.
They're going to come down. And I believe the Lord showed me that the shift that he had prophesied would happen when Oral Roberts left, it has made an entrance, made a hole in that double kingdom system, you might say. Now, the whole of it has not come down yet, but now I want to read you from the authority of the believer, because people's minds are not so renewed with who the church is and what our future is. And he's very good on that in here.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 6. He said, this power is to usward who believe. Last two lines of page 6. All the demonstration of the glory of God shown in the manifestation of his omnipotence pointed manward. The cross of Jesus shows us a representative man overcoming for mankind and preparing through his own incumbency a throne and a heavenly ministry for those who should overcome with him. We're supposed to be overcomers. Observe in this connection the identification of Christ's people with himself in the crisis of resurrection. Christ and his people were raised together. The same verb that expresses the reviving of Christ expresses the reviving of his people. That is to say, the very act of God which raised the Lord from among the dead raised also his body. Head and body are naturally raised together. Christ the head, his body the church. Ephesians lifts the believer with the ascended Christ to the heavenlies, where he is made a partaker of Christ's throne. In this enthronement, there's an anticipation of that future. Now get this, listen. That future union in the government of the nations, which the believer shall share with his Lord, ruling them with a rod of iron and breaking them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's Revelation 2, 26 through 27. You might as well know that everybody in the millennium is not living for God. They got in by a works judgment. And at the end of the millennium, he's going to let the devil loose, and the devil gathers up a whole passel of them that haven't been following God. So we're going to rule with him. Now, the location of authority. We are made to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. Christ's seat is at the right hand of God. His people, therefore, occupy with him right now the same august position. This honor is not to a chosen few, but is the portion of all those who share in the resurrection of the Son of God. It is the birthright of every true believer.
It's our birthright.
The right hand of the throne of God, it says in Hebrews 8:1 that he sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe, and the exercising of the power of the throne was committed unto the ascended Lord. He's still there in full possession of his rights, awaiting the Father's time when his enemies shall be made his footstool. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him, that is, they share his throne. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. Now, we talked yesterday about this double kingdom system. Listen, put your ears on and listen to more about it. It is necessary to state here what is commonly understood by those who carefully study the Word. that the kingdoms of this world are under the control and leadership of satanic principalities. The great head of these is, as he's called in the Gospel of John three times, a prince of this world. He presented himself to Jesus as having these kingdoms under his control in Luke 4, 6, and Christ did not deny it. Although a rebel against the Most High, he is now under judgment of dispossession. John 12, 31, he's coming to naught, but he is still at large. And as the masses of mankind are also rebels, he maintains over them an unquestioned, because unsuspected, rule, their eyes being blinded to his dominance. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says that the god of this world blinds their eyes. The whole rebellious system is divided into heavenly and earthly sections. Now we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 24 and read this. People don't like to hear that God's a God of judgment, but thank God He is. He's going to judge all those things that need to be judged. And in Isaiah chapter 24, 25, 26, it's talking about when He comes to judge the earth. The last verse of Isaiah 26 says, "For behold, Jehovah comes out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her sins." He, the Creator, Jehovah, is going to come and judge the earth. All blood that's spilled upon the earth will be avenged. Now, all this judgment of the earth is being talked about in Isaiah 24. And when He comes to do that, Isaiah 24, verse 21 says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord, Jehovah, shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth." And yesterday we saw how that double kingdom system works. We went into the book of Ezekiel. We saw how there's an evil spirit in the heavenlies that works down through evil kings on the earth that will allow them to do so. And so He's going to judge the high ones on high, and He's going to judge the kings of the earth upon the earth. So all the evil kings will be judged, and all those evil ones behind them will be judged. The whole rebellious system is divided into heavenly and earthly sections. Both, the prophet tells us, will be judged when the Lord comes out of His place to judge them. The seats of these rebellious spiritual rulers are in the heavenlies. From there, they have dominated the human race since its fall. There they will remain until the divine purpose of the ages is complete. Now, this is on page 13. The God of the whole earth does not propose to tolerate forever this rebellion against His righteousness. I have sworn by myself, Isaiah 45, 23, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Before this can be accomplished, the instigators of human rebellion must be cast down, these powers of the air. And then he goes into the fact that their successors are being prepared by God right now, that God is preparing a redeemed and purified people. He has already introduced them potentially into the heavenlies where we're seated at His own right hand. But in the future, bless the Lord, according to the eternal purpose of God, as is written in Ephesians 3, 9 through 11, it is revealed as the divine will that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church is to be God's instrument in declaring to this rebellious and usurping powers the divine purpose and in administering their principalities after they have been unseated and cast down. They're going to be cast down, and who's going to take their place is the church. I don't think the church understands that. This is further declared to be according to the eternal purpose of the ages which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3, 11, that is to say, God through all the past ages has had in view this wonderful plan of preparing in Christ Jesus a people chosen and called and faithful, whom he might place in these heavenly seats to rule through the ages to come. Hallelujah. He goes into Daniel and how he's the saints of the Most High, the church of the living God, and then the nation of the saints of the Most High, the people of the saints, that's Israel upon the earth. The saints of the Most High are the overcoming church, raised to sit in the heavenlies. Below them and as objects of their care are the people of Israel, called the people of the saints of the Most High. Israel will administer the earthly kingdom and will be head of the nations, but over all will rule the exalted church as the executive of God. You see, we're not like those people on the earth that just have longevity restored to our human body like this. The Jews that are here on the earth, when the Messiah comes, they'll have longevity restored to them. The sheep nations will have longevity restored to them. But this heavenly kingdom where the seats and the thrones are, the glorified saints are going to be there. We're not like the earthly people. We have a body like unto Jesus' glorious body. We've already been seated there to learn how to rule over them, and we should be doing it right now. But then through all the ages, we will occupy those seats. Now, it says to us in the Bible that that kingdom is going to be shaken. That kingdom where those evil princes are ruling right now. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Mark 13:25, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Isaiah 34:4, all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts, their armies, will fall down as a leaf falls from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Hebrews 12:27. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, those things which cannot be shaken may be remaining. And we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so I believe that that God has revealed to me that when Oral Roberts went through with the power and authority he lived in on earth, when he went through, there was a shift in that heavenly kingdom. And it has begun to shake. It's not finished yet. It won't be completely repossessed, but it has already begun, and things are shifting on the earth. It's going to be, we're going to talk tomorrow about a manifestation of the dunamis power of God through us.
Glory to God. Increase, spiritual increase, an ability to flow with God.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Don't go away, Billy, and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois, at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. This year, the Southwest Believers Convention is being called Homecoming 2010. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. For more information, call 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. As time accelerates around the earth, the reality of the kingdom of God is becoming more evident. An outburst of the miraculous is about to happen, and you are going to be a part of it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has put together a special package of resources to prepare you for the next awesome move of God. The Signs and Wonders package includes The Signs and Wonders, a book by Maria Woodworth Edder, who some consider to have had one of the most powerful ministries of modern time. You'll learn about the Holy Spirit, the power of faith, and how to receive your miracle. You'll also get the exciting Believer's Voice of Victory series, Signs and Wonders, with Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim. These broadcasts will teach you how to determine God's direction and be in the right place at the right time. Finally, you'll receive the landmark book, John G. Lake, His Life, His Sermons, His Boldness of Faith. Get ready to be a part of God's supernatural connection and His glory. Order the Signs and Wonders package, now available for just $29.99. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. The Signs and Wonders package will show you how to get the power of God working in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit kcm.org.
If you want to change, you have to make a change. And we've got some offers today, some books and DVDs that will help you make that change. Now, these two people, Maria Woodworth Eder and John G. Lake, they absolutely knew how to walk in the power of God. Mm-hmm. They had so many
miracles. The dunamis.
They lived in the supernatural. And they're in here, like John G. Lake, he just takes sermons. He gives you sermons that he'd learned that changed his life from one of weakness into power. Wasn't he sick? Or wasn't John G. Lake? Oh, his wife.
His sister.
His sister.
His whole family had been sick and dying.
Yes, and much death. Mm-hmm. And he learned from the Word of God how to operate in the power of God. Maria Woodworth Eder had so many signs and wonders in a day when there weren't even women preachers. She was out ministering in the power of God. And they give you the word on it. That's what's important. It's one thing to hear a history lesson, but it's another thing to learn what they knew that enabled them.
How to operate in it.
And I tell you, John Lake, he ministered to me. I don't think he could have ministered to me anymore if I'd been there in person than studying his. In fact, I'm the one that had this book put together. It was just loose lessons. And I said, we got to get that out. So you know what? If you want to change, you have to make a change. Go after the power of God. So get these books.
Go after the power of God, yes.
Get these and study and learn how. And if you need help, people to pray with you, we have anointed prayer ministers right here. And until you get the hang of it, they can help you. So call and we'll be glad to pray for you. They're ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Some people say, are you getting people out of Hong Kong or something to pray? No, these are believers. This is not somebody we just pick up off the street. These are the believers that know how to pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, if you need to have your family, your children delivered from drugs, God is listening. And you just need to let your faith go and God will turn it around for you. Be sure and join us again tomorrow and learn more about your authority. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.